Good afternoon. Why are we here this afternoon? You don't have to answer. I learned a couple of weeks ago at Our Lady of the Snow that you have to be careful about what sort of hypothetical questions you ask. You never know what answers you will get. We are here because we believe as Catholics, as Christians, that Mary, at the end of her life, did not die in the way that human beings die. Instead, what happened was, and our theological traditions have different ways of describing this, that Mary was assumed. She was taken up by God the Father, body and soul, into heaven. We await, when we go to heaven, the resurrection of our bodies. Our souls, our spirits go, but we await the final judgment when Jesus will resurrect all human beings to judgment or to eternal life, and our souls will be reunited with our bodies. And right now in heaven, there are only two human bodies in that place that is beyond space or time. There is Jesus's body and there is Mary's body. But that's not often what I think this feast is about. When my brother and I were growing up, we always looked forward to August 15th, because August 15th was when you had that really cool first reading with the dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns. And how do you get 10 horns onto 7 heads? How do you split them apart? And then 7 more crowns on top of the 7 heads. And my brother actually texted me at 8:30 this morning, and he said, "Happy cool reading at Mass Day." Be careful what you text your brother. It might end up in a homily. But that dragon is there for a reason, not just to entertain 8-year-old boys who need a reason to be at Mass on August 15th, but because what happens throughout the universe is a battle between death and life. And Mary, who was sinless, who clung completely to her Savior, was life. But that battle still raged and was raged around her. Mary lived a human life like we do, and she knew the experiences of life. She was a mother. She experienced giving birth to a child and seeing that child grow up and live. She experienced joy and elation, a kind of joy that only mothers can experience, when she, while pregnant, went and visited her cousin Elizabeth, also pregnant. That kind of bond that exists between women who are pregnant at the same time is a sort of thing that women understand so well and make sense that men struggle to imagine. Mary experienced this special bond. But Mary also, around her, witnessed death. Mary experienced, most likely, her husband Joseph dying. She experienced that sadness that no mother wants, watching her son die in front of her, outliving her own son. But her son was raised, which is good. And we want to be drawn, among those things, into the joy and the elation that Mary gives to us. I struggled for a long time to understand or to get, at an emotional level, what this feast is about. And I would go through and celebrate the Assumption every year. I would show up. There would be that cool reading. But I didn't really understand what it was for. And a couple of years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, the Feast of the Assumption fell on the day that my brother was entering college. So I had traveled with him to go and get him moved into his room. There was a lot of tension in our family at that point, as happens when kids go to college. And I don't understand exactly what it was, but as I was praying that morning, it dawned on me, or made sense to me at a deeper level, for the first time that this feast of the Assumption is about hope. That we who are so different from Mary and sin often and fall often in ways that Mary did not are destined for and called to the kind of hope that Mary had, the kind of joy that she experienced and experiences now in heaven. And that also our bodies, weak and frail though they are meant for the same kind of glory that she had. And that should be worth so much to us. That hope is a grace. It's not something we can earn. It's not something we can provide for ourselves or cook up by thinking about the right things or having the right experiences. It's a grace given to us by God, the way that everything good that Mary received was given to her by God. That hope is the thing that can sustain us when the battle between life and death continues to rage inside of us and around us. Because that dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns can get into the church sometimes. Satan doesn't exist as an abstraction or somebody out there who just operates in the world. Satan can influence and impact the church and people in the church. And we this week and in coming weeks and months are going to hear about how that has happened in our church, throughout the world, but including in New York State and including in our diocese. And that's not going to be easy. It's going to be discouraging. And that is what that dragon wants. He wants you to be discouraged. He wants you to give up and say, there's no hope for the church. Which is, if we say that, to become complicit in the very crimes that we are being called to speak out against, to heal, and to prevent. We need Mary. Mary doesn't want to discourage you. She wants to prop you up and remind you, this is why I was assumed. This is why I bore my son into the world for you, so that you can live in hope, so that you can know that you are not defined by your own actions or your own sins or what other people tell you about you, and you're not defined by other people's sins either. You're defined, Mary says, by the same thing that defined me, absolute, unconditional love that came to her from God the Father in her Son, Jesus, through the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's not far off, because that gift of the Son she bore, the Son whose body she's with in heaven now, that body is coming here today on the altar for us to receive and to give us hope.